be seated. Newly elected conference superintendent for the Southeast region of the Evangelical Covenant Church. I've known Catherine for several years, have worked with her on occasion, have seen her ministry, and am just pleased as can be that she is our conference superintendent, but also that she has said yes to be with us this morning. So we give you a warm Bay Indies welcome. Catherine, thank you.
Well, good morning.
Good morning.
I couldn't be more excited to be here. It is a joy to worship in our sister churches in the Southeast Conference and Bay Indies. It's such a wonderful supporter of all the mission and ministry that goes on in the Southeast Conference. And so I thank you for your support, for your prayers for me. I have so many friends down here, and I'm just delighted to be here with you in worship. I have truly loved this music this morning, so thank you for that blessing on top of all of that. This is a beautiful place to be this time of year, amen? I'm just saying, it's just a wonderful time. And so I am excited. Now, you know, y'all can see that I'm a black preacher, amen? I need you all to work with me this morning, amen? I'm not used to speaking in quiet places, and although I've been covenant all my life. I've learned how to keep it short. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
So we're going to talk about the transfiguration this morning in light of the resurrection. And this is one of those Sundays where I call them high Sundays, where I love to remember all that the Lord does to reveal who he is to us. So in Mark's transfiguration story, it stands as a transition between the Sundays of Epiphany and the season of Lent. The season of Lent, it's coming. And the revelation of the power and presence of God's kingdom in Jesus during Epiphany meets the progressive focus of the journey of Jesus' suffering and death on the cross during Lent. It is at this intersection that we find our story for this morning. Jesus' first disciples, who have abandoned everything to follow Jesus, now wonder whether or not their decision will be all that it seemed to promise at the beginning. And this is also the question for us who follow Jesus today. Mark's transfiguration story invites us to experience both the climax and the crisis of hearing this story as good news. More than any of the other gospel, Mark's story makes it clear that to be transfigured disciples, we are to be followers of Jesus, who now, with our new life, we are connected to Jesus' suffering, Jesus' death, and Jesus' resurrection. Mark's telling of the transfiguration story makes this connection in several ways. First, the narrative calls us to understand the discipleship in terms of the promise of the kingdom, the power of God, and the way in which the kingdom is present in both the death and resurrection of Jesus. These disciples will be changed by what they see, and they will be challenged to live differently because they have witnessed it. All of us who have been on journey with Christ understand when Christ reveals who he is, we're changed by that. Amen. And we're challenged to live differently because of that. Secondly, Jesus' disciples are connected to Jesus' suffering and death and resurrection in the command that when they go down from this mountain, they are not to tell anyone about what they've seen until after the Son of Man has been risen from the dead. They've experienced something in this snapshot, and they won't be able to fully understand it until other events have taken place. They are to hold what they've seen until after the resurrection. And all of us are living in the tension of that moment, amen, as we live our lives. Yeah. We know that Jesus is coming back. But until Jesus gets here, we have to hold on to what we know to be true about all that Jesus' death and resurrection promises us. And then there is the story linking what we're seeing in the Transfiguration to Jesus' baptism. In both narratives, a voice speaks from heaven. In the baptism narrative, a voice speaks directly to Jesus, "You are my beloved son." And at the Transfiguration, the voice is addressing those who are looking at this scene, and it says, "This is my beloved son." At the baptism, the voice addresses Jesus, "In you I am well pleased." And here at the Transfiguration, the address is for the hearers, "Whom I love. This is my son, whom I love." And then at the Transfiguration, we're left with this command, "Listen to him." This command reorients our call to discipleship. As Mark links Jesus' baptism with his Transfiguration, the disciples witness a conversation taking place in the spiritual realm between Moses and Elijah and Jesus. Moses, the lawgiver, Elijah, the prophet. They're both in conversation with Jesus, who is the fulfillment of both the law and the prophet. My. To get a glimpse into the spiritual realm. The incarnation of Jesus ushered in the kingdom of God on earth. Many of us have experienced points in our own discipleship journey where we have seen a foretaste of what is to come. All of us have lived long enough to see a glimpse.
Amen.
I'm not talking to those newbies. I'm talking with people who've walked with God for a while now. We've all experienced this foretaste of seeing God in action right here on earth. And Jesus' death and resurrection requires us to live with some ambiguity. We can't explain what's going on all the time. Amen?
Amen.
God shows up and he does some stuff. We can't explain it. But we live with that not yet. We're now, but not yet. We live by faith and not by sight. And we live trusting in the one who gives us the promise. We open our eyes and we see a transfigured world. We open our ears and we hear a transfiguring voice. We open our heart and we become a transfigured life. Transfiguration changes us. It sustains us. Transfiguration prepares us. Transfiguration encourages us. It's in moments of transfiguration that we are guided into an unknown future. Yet regardless of the challenges we face, we give witness to who we are. We are the transfigured people of God. We are light bearers of the eternal promise that we have received from Christ when we accepted him as our Lord and Savior. I've pastored congregations located in some dark places. People are experiencing deep pain and suffering. The needs of people who are marginalized are endless. Surviving in neglected communities means learning how to navigate one crisis after another. Ministering to people who can't make ends meet, to children who go hungry, to seniors who have to go without the medical care that they need, is an exhausting call. The longer you serve, the more you need the hope that is in this transfiguration narrative. We need moments that remind us that this is not all that there is.
Amen to that.
Serving in neglected spaces make it clear that we too are meant to be transfigured. We are to be transfigured, not as Jesus was, but as his disciples were. These men who went up to this mountain were very different men when they go down. And we are to be transfigured in ways that reveal that we too believe that the now, but not yet, of the gospel. We suffer now with those who suffer. We feed hungry people now. We clothe people who are naked now. We visit those who are in prison now. We welcome the stranger now. This is how the transfigured people of God become the now but not yet witness of Jesus. We provide care now for those with mental illness. We walk with those who have addictions now. We advocate for those who are victims of injustice now. We are the transfigured witness of Jesus in the world. We go to the dark places in our world now, and we shine the light of Christ on abuse, on hatred, on anger in all of its forms right now, because we are the transfigured people of Jesus. Jesus is witness of light bearers in this world. It is the power of the transfiguration narrative that reminds us that we are called to see our journey up the mountain and down the mountain in light of what happens on the mountain. On the mountaintop, we see a snapshot of the promise of eternal life. Oh, I can't wait to be in that inner circle of conversation. Amen.
Amen.
On the mountaintop, we are encouraged to see all of life through the redemptive work that Jesus does on the cross. One theologian paints this picture of how the transfiguration narrative reveals the final movements in the fulfillment of God's kingdom. When we look at the narrative, we see Jesus will rule his coming kingdom in his glorified body. Amen. I don't know about anybody else, but I'll be glad to get rid of this body. Amen. Been struggling with this body for a long time. Moses in his glorified body represents those who are saved and will enter God's kingdom through death. Elijah, who never died, represents believers who will enter the kingdom of God by the rapture of the church. Peter, James, and John in their natural bodies depict those Jewish believers who will enter the coming kingdom. And the magnitude of people at the base of the mountain represent the various nations who will enter the kingdom of God. For each movement of the transfiguration narrative, we get a glimpse of the promise that comes from Jesus' resurrection. We are transfigured people who join Peter in declaring that it is so good for us to be here. It is good for us to witness these divine moments that God allows us a glimpse into the spiritual world. It is good for us to be able to be here when the world needs a witness of what it looks like to be a light in the darkness. It is good for us to be here when doubt needs to be transformed into hope and love needs to be extended to the unlovable. It is so good for us to be here extending the grace and the mercy that we've received to those who need redemption and restoration. Hallelujah. It is so good, so very good for us to be here proclaiming that the gospel is good news for all people in every place from everywhere. So may our glimpse into the eternal change how we live in this world. May our glimpse into the eternal make our time around the Lord's table this morning meaningful in ways that remind us of the hope that we have because we are transfigured people in this world. And may we be reminded that it is very good news that we who believe in Christ will one day be able to experience all that God has promised us without the now, but not yet, but the fulfillment of all that we've been waiting on. Praise Amen. Be to God.
Amen.
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 Thank you.
That was the quickest you ever hear a black preacher preach. Amen.
All right. Thank you, Captain.